influencing each other all the time. Even you answering questions like this has an influence over people. One of the reasons we do this kind of stuff is because it's not about one person standing in front of a bunch of people talking. It's about us as a family living together and working together and walking together and having influence over each other. Go ahead, Don, you can take that off there. Or switch it over. We have tremendous influence over each other's lives. In fact, as I was looking at this, I found that they have college courses on how to become an influencer, how to become a social media influencer. And there are hundreds of classes all over the United States about how to do this because it's a profession. On Instagram, if you get how many? 1,000 posts? No. How much does it take to make money? YouTube? Every 1,000 views on YouTube, if you have a YouTube station, is $10. Kylie Jenner, every time she makes a social media post that's sponsored, she makes $1 million. Every post that she makes that's sponsored. So she has people who sponsor her, and when she makes a post, she makes $1 million. So being a social media influencer is a big deal in this world that we live in, whether you like it or not. And I'll just start it right front by saying I'm not on social media except texting, if that's what you include. And I am on Instagram with 3 people, my kids. And so I can get pictures of them, that's it. I don't participate in any of that stuff. It's not because I think it's evil. I really don't. That's not why. In fact, one of the weeks we're going to talk about influence, I'm going to actually talk about social media as an influence in our lives. And so it's not that I think it's evil. It's just not very helpful if you're a pastor because you know way too much about people and way too much about their lives, and a lot of it's not true. And so I don't need that. I have enough trouble just praying for you, let alone knowing you online or knowing about you or what you think or where you're at or what you're eating or whatever, you know. The sunset you're watching. I put down, this probably seems like way too much, but I put down some Christian leaders that you might follow just to see how many followers they have on Instagram. Joel Osteen had the most of the ones that I looked at that are Christians at 4 million followers. And then you can see T.D. Jakes, Jim Tebow, Stephen Furtick, which some of you may not even know about. But he has a ministry out of Atlanta that's really popular, or North Carolina. Christine Kane, an Australian girl, has the most that I could find on women that were in ministry, even more than Beth Moore, which is really surprising. Bob Goff, who has all these people that are on here have made some kind of an influence either through books or television or online. John Mark Comer is a pastor in Portland who has become very, very popular over the last couple years with some of the books he's written. Mike Bickle, who many of us know because we've followed him and the prayer ministry that he has. John Tyson, maybe some of you don't even know about him. I've been reading a lot of his stuff lately just because he's young, he's bold, he's articulate, and he's current. He talks about what he's going through. In fact, last year he spent some time touring through Europe, looking at different churches and getting a feel for what happened during the revivals that happened in Europe, just wanting to be there firsthand. Then these aren't Christians necessarily, but Kanye West, who is now, has 27 million as opposed to Joel Osteen, who has 4 million followers. Kylie Jenner has 158 million. And Cristiano Ronaldo just moved into first place. And he's got 197 million. As a side note, the Pope has 6.5 million. I just want to make a plug for the Pope right now. If you haven't seen Two Popes, it's an amazing movie. It's a really good movie. Two Popes. It's about Pope Benedict and Pope Francis and how they kind of overlap. For a while there, while Pope Benedict was alive, we actually had two popes on the earth, which doesn't happen very often. And so there's some really good historical stuff in there. If you don't know much about the Catholic religion, which I don't know a whole lot, it was really a good kind of insight into the thinking behind leadership in the Catholic Church. 6.5 million, and Jesus has more followers than anybody else. He has 2.3 billion followers, and he's not even on Instagram. That just, now there's influence for you. There's a guy who knows how to influence. He has a tremendous amount of influence. So let's look at a little bit about what we're talking about. One of my favorite verses that talks about influence is talking about when Jesus talks about being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he talks about us being salt and light. Listen to what it says. This is in the Passion Translation. It says, your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled by others. Your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. How can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's a place where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. Remember, this is what Jesus said to his disciples as he was gathered around them, teaching them. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. That's out of Matthew 5. The only thing I don't like about this version, and you know, you can get really picky about versions and say, you know, like there's only one real version of the Bible, which is not true because they're all versions. Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and there's no Aramaic translation. So he spoke in a different language altogether that most of us don't even use. But I don't like the fact that it says your lives are like salt. Jesus said, be salt and be light. He was not confused about this. He knew that we could be salt in the world and we could be light in the world. And so when I hear that, I think, well, he's calling me to be something. He's not calling me to be like something. We are like Jesus in the earth, but we're also a reflection of him on the earth too. When people see us, they see him. Influence is sometimes defined as the ability to produce an effect without force, without an apparent force or direct authority. And some people, because of their personalities and their positions, they have influence over other people. Your boss, if you have a boss with a strong personality, that boss has influence over everyone that surrounds them. And they don't even have to work at it. It's just because their personality is strong, they have an influence around the people that work for them. We are spiritual people and have been taught by Jesus to exude more influence for the good of the gospel. That's how Psalm 31 says the same thing. One dictionary defines influence this way: a spiritual force or a moral force which knowingly or unknowingly affects the actions and behaviors of others, consciously or unconsciously. So you can have influence and not even realize you're having influence. Or you can try to have influence and have the wrong kind of influence. And so a lot of times Christians will say they want to influence their coworkers. And so every opportunity they get to preach the Bible, quote the Bible, they'll do that at work and drive their coworkers nuts. What kind of influence are you having? Yeah, you can really make it difficult for anybody to even want to be part of the kingdom of God or draw near to Jesus. So sometimes our influence, even when we mean it to be positively spiritual, can have a negative impact. And some of the most powerful influences we have, you may have in people's lives, may just be you being kind. Or doing, you know, you can have a huge influence at work, and we're going to spend a whole Sunday talking about have an influence at work, but you can have a tremendous influence at work just by doing a job well. Just actually showing up on time, doing your job, and leaving on time. You can have a huge impact on the people around you. And we all know we've worked with people who try to cut corners and don't do their job and kind of shove their responsibilities off on other people or blame people for what they're not doing. And look how negative that influence is. Nobody wants to work with them. Nobody wants to work for them. Nobody wants to work around them because of their influence. As far as authenticity and reach, it's a huge part of influence. What does influence look like in the kingdom of God? It's about being real and allowing the reality of who you are to touch other people. You know, how much do you like phonies? How much do you like people who pretend to be a different kind of person than they really are? You know, you can see them and they have the right words and the right actions, but then there's no integrity in their walk with God, you know, and like it's shallow and they really don't do what they say they're going to do. That has a huge impact. On the other hand, somebody who's just loving of other people has a powerful impact on the people around them. Without even being assertive or pushing that onto people, they can have a powerful influence. I love this verse, Ephesians 3:20 in the Message. It says this: God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. Think about that for a second. He can do more than you ever imagined by working in you. Not by giving you orders, not by getting you to look perfect, but just by working in and through you. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Let me read that again. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it by not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. See, if you go back up to the top, one of the things that the verses that I'm going to focus on through this whole thing is something that's not new to any of you, because we talked about it when we were talking about friendship with Jesus, and that's John 15. In fact, I put some book recommendations in the news notes, and one of them is The Abiding Life, which is a pastor out of Sacramento who just spent some time looking at how John 15 paints a picture of us and how we can influence others. And so, but this scripture in the beginning, John 15, verses 5 and 7, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. John Tyson, who I mentioned, wrote a book called The Creative Minority. And the whole point of that book is that we can have influence and not have a majority of vote or not have a majority of us involved. the shift that has happened in the United States over the past 15 years with LGBTQ and all the stuff that surrounds gay rights and gay marriage, all that stuff, that shift happened in the United States with very, very few people. It didn't happen because there were a majority of people who said they wanted gay rights. It was a shift that happened because a relatively small group of people had a tremendous amount of influence. And so I don't say that to try to create any kind of image or anything. All I mean is you can have a huge impact on the world around you, and it doesn't take a lot of people. I mean, some of you, recently Adam and Stephanie started becoming part of our congregation. Just them coming has changed the focus in this congregation on evangelism, because Adam is called to be an evangelist. And so last Wednesday when we were here together, somebody came in and Adam's desire was to get him into a place where he can be loved. And that's what an evangelist does, is they just position people so that the body of Christ can love them, so that that person can feel Jesus' love. That's a huge influence one guy made over a whole group of people that he doesn't really know all that well. But he feels like God's called him to do a certain thing, to be a certain kind of person, and it leaks out. I mean, one of my strongest gifts is just sitting down with people and listening to them talk. And I call that being a pastor. So it's a strong thing because that's who God created me to be. And when I yield to that, I have more influence than I would. I definitely have more influence than I do up here speaking with a mic. I have more influence than I do or would have standing on a box downtown preaching. My influence comes that way. Some of you are teachers, and you know you're not going to have influence as a teacher unless you teach. So you have to teach, And it has to come out. It can come out in a lot of different ways. But when you're obedient to the thing that God's called you to do, and you let him work through you in that, like it says in John 15, you'll see amazing results. You'll see your influence grow simply because you're just doing what you were created to do. Most of our influence doesn't come because we make things happen. It's because we let God do things through us, just like in John 15. Anyway, John Tyson points out the word influence. Listen to this. This is really cool. The word influence is derived from the Latin root meaning to flow. That's what the Latin word for influence means, to flow. So flow, from where, through what, how does that work? This flowing does not connote power, coercion, or control. It suggests effortlessness. When you are influencing people by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's effortless. I mean, you can listen to David lead worship, and it looks like he is like pouring himself into this stuff, just like, but he's aggressive, he's passionate, he's expressive, he's loud, and that's just who David is with a guitar in his hand. He's not trying to be like that. He's not trying to be louder than everybody in the room. He's not trying to be aggressive. That's just who he is with a guitar. And some other people might lead differently. Dwayne has a style of leading. Adam and Annie have a style of leading. You know, different people have different way approaches, and when they just be themselves, they're really effective at what they do. I watch people preach all the time. I listen to podcasts all the time. I listen to what other Christians are saying, Christian leaders are saying all the time. That gets weird when I think I want to be able to communicate clearly that way, but that's really not who I am. I have to kind of stick within the boundaries of who I am and let God flow through that conduit. And just like they're letting God flow through them. T.D. Jakes is a very unique individual when it comes to preaching. The way he approaches it is very unique. You go ahead and try to be like him. You know? It's interesting when people try to be somebody they're not. It's so easy to see. But authenticity is really powerful when it comes to influence, because you have a great influence when you're just yourself, because it's effortless. We want to influence people by being ourselves. There's such creativity that comes out of our community that people are drawn to it. Redemptive participation is a word to use. I love that term. Redemptive participation means when you do the things that you do, you're doing it because you want to see people brought back into relationship with God, or be brought into relationship with God at a deeper level. That's what, when you participate in the things of God, if it's redemptive, it's bringing people back to Jesus, bringing back people back to the Father. The word influence, the Latin word influentia, describes something that flows and causes changes. Usually it's a force that's imperceptible or hidden. Influencers are people living in proximity to ordinary people who are looking for some source of wisdom, some source of discernment, power, truth, or other qualities. That same word is the base word for the word influenza. So another way of looking at influence is it's like a virus that can be caught. Influence can be spread passively. Influence can be spread effortlessly. You don't have to try to get a cold if you have a child that's sick. Just stay in the same house and you'll get sick too. Those little petri dishes. You know, they're like, you're around people who are sick, and you will probably get what they have. Because they're not trying to make you sick. They're just sick. If you are trying to influence people, sometimes it doesn't work very well. The best way to influence people is just to be ourselves. So, Adam, could you go get me one of those trees out there, those potted plants, the fake ones? We don't have any real ones because they take work. I forgot I was going to do this. We're talking about the vine and the branches. It really helps to have some kind of a picture of how that whole thing works. No. The big one. Yeah. It says in John 15 again, I am the vine, you're the branches. If man remains in me and I, if man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Yeah, that's awesome. If a man remains in me, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. So the Father, what he wants to do is for us to bear much fruit. And so we're revealing ourselves to be his disciples. Influence is not about control. It's about fruit. And so the way this works is there's a vine. And who's the vine? Jesus, right? Who takes care of the vine? The Father. The Father's the vine dresser. Jesus is a vine. I'm a branch. And there's fruit. So if I stay connected to the vine, fruit will come. And I don't even have to work at it. If I disconnect from this, where's the fruit going to come? From wherever I'm connected to. So if I connect myself to my brother Steve, and whatever is in him starts flowing through me, the fruit's going to look like him, right? Or if I connect myself to someone else or something else, like if I connect myself to my job, what fruit do I get out of that? I might look successful. I might get some money. I might be productive. Certainly won't be bored if I'm working at it. But this scripture says we're supposed to stay connected to the vine. How many things can you stay connected to? Not very many. I mean, really, if you're going to stay connected to anything, if you're going to be connected to something, you're not going to be able to be connected to too many things. I mean, this is what happens when you have children, right? When you have children, you are no longer able to connect yourself with a lot of different things like you used to. You know, it's more difficult to go out with your wife. It's more difficult to have hobbies because you're connected to these kids. Being connected with Jesus is the same thing. You have to fight for this. One of the things you realize when you really get serious about being connected with Jesus is you end up having to say no to a lot of stuff because it's just not profitable, you know? I love watching Saturday Night Live, but it is not profitable to my spirit. I don't need those pictures in my heart. I don't need that kind of sarcasm flowing through my veins. I got enough on my own, thank you very much. You know? So connecting to that stuff is not helpful. If I stay connected with Jesus, and I'm growing in that kind of connection, amazing things can happen. Like it says, like we just read in Ephesians 3, God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine, guess, believe, because you're staying connected to Jesus. If you don't stay connected, it makes it really difficult for him to flow through you. Now, what is flowing through you from him that creates fruit? It's kind of a trick question. Anything he wants. You know, if he's Lord, anything can flow through you. So you can have discernment flow through you, and you can heal people. You can have wisdom flow through you, and you can change the whole world around you. You can change the work environment you live in. How many of you, when you first got saved, didn't have a whole lot of Christians in your family? Raise your hand really high if you didn't have a lot of Christians in your family. So you were who you were. You were growing as a believer. Did that change your family in any way? How many of you have a lot of Christians in your family now that you didn't have before you were saved? Yeah, because you have influence in the family. And all you were doing was just being you. But what you were doing was you were staying connected with Jesus, and he was flowing through you, and people saw his love. They saw the tenderness. They saw the change that happened in you, all because you were connected with him. Had you been connected with Star Wars, There's nothing wrong with Star Wars, but if you spend too much time in that world, the Force becomes more important than the power of the Holy Spirit. And so it can really change the way you look at the world around you. That's a stupid example, but I mean, whatever we plug ourselves into tends to be where the fruit comes from in our lives. And all of us have fruit. You may think that you don't have any fruit in your life. Ask your best friend what influence you've had over their life. Just ask them. Ask them how you've affected their lives. Because when we're connected with Jesus, if there's something he wants to get done, how's he going to do it? Through me. He's kind of created this to only work one way. Fruit comes, the good fruit that it talks about in John 15, comes through us, from him through us to other people. Now, there's all kinds of fruit. You can have bad fruit, too. You can have disgusting fruit in your life. And all of us have been challenged. I mean, that's what we got saved from, was that fruit. When we got rescued by Jesus and we experienced conversion, we were set free and salvation and became a reality for us, the fruit in our life changed. It may have changed slow for some. For some people, it changed dramatically. Some of the stories that I hear about how people's conversion process is pretty dramatic. But everything changes when you get connected to Jesus. And it's not like he's going to make you stay connected with him. It says in John 15, if you abide in me and I abide in you. It doesn't say if you let me abide in you. It doesn't say that. It says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. If you abide in me, you'll see amazing things happening. Our American culture is disproportionately lifts up the person in front, the person with the mic. For this is like control. It's prominence. It's prominence as being important, being famous. But what God wants us to do is he wants us to be pervasive, not prominent. So it isn't the guy with a mic who has all the influence. I mean, you can look at all those people on the front page, all those people on Instagram who have thousands of people following them. And what that means is they're listening to what they're saying. They're paying attention to what they're saying. But there's people who are less prominent and more obscure who have huge influence in people's lives. One of the people that's got a huge influence in a lot of people's lives is Heidi Baker, who has a ministry in Mozambique to poor children. Mama Heidi, they call her there, because she just keeps taking kids in and making them her own. And she talks to them like they're her kids. And she's started like 500 congregations or something like that. I don't know what it is now in Africa. And all she does is travel to a place, find a leader and bless that leader and support that leader. And signs and wonders happen. People she prays for get healed. Phenomenal things happen. She's had a huge influence in Africa. And she's not on Instagram. You can't follow her. The only way you can follow her is if you go to Mozambique and be part of her ministry and just follow her around, and you will be influenced by what she does. Reinhard Bonnke stood in front of millions of people in Africa and saw transformation happen to millions of people. And he gets a lot of focus and credit because one guy with a mic stood in front of millions of people and influenced them. I don't think there's any difference in God's eyes. He will just as fast move through Heidi Baker as he will through Reinhard Bonnke. He'll just as fast move through you and I as he will any of those people in those pictures on the front page. The difference is we don't see ourselves that way. One of the things I want you to hear today is this stuff is real. Influence is real. You have an influence over the people around you. You're making an impact over people's lives. Francis Fanjapan says, what you behold is what you become. Godly influence on earth does not come from seeking crowds, but rather is a byproduct of seeking God. Staying connected. Godly influence is a byproduct of seeking God. You attract people to God when they see your passion for the object of your gaze. When they see your passion for the thing that your eyes are fixed on, they change because of the influence they have. You, in turn, introduce them to your Lord, whose cross has changed your life. So the person with a mic can only inspire people. You can inspire people with a mic, but they really can't influence people. Nobody's life is, or people's lives are rarely changed by one person with a mic in front of huge crowds of people. People are typically changed because they're sitting across the table from each other at coffee, becoming friends, walking together. That's why I have a really hard time believing that you can really be a growing Christian and not be part of a local congregation, because we need each other. We need to walk together. We need to see God working working his character out in each other. We need to see the ups and downs. We need to see the weaknesses. We need to celebrate with each other. But we also need to walk with each other through difficult times. I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't learn about God apart from the body of Christ, but it's hard to practice this outside the body of Christ because we need each other. Church is one of the messiest places in the world to try to be a Christian. But it's one of the best places in the world to try to grow as a Christian, because you will constantly be challenged by the people around you who don't look like you, smell like you, act like you, talk like you, think like you. And that all tends to make you stronger and grow more as a believer. It'll force you back into the Word. It'll force you back into this connection. You know, you lose this and the body of Christ becomes a devastating place to live. But if we stay connected here, amazing things can happen. Because I'm connected here and you're connected here and we are connected with each other, our influence can have a huge impact on each other. Amen. It's really strong what God is doing in our midst. I love it. So that's the Jesus model of influences, sitting across the table having coffee and saying, let's do this together. Let's go here together. Let's walk together. In his book, Josh Houston in The Abiding Life talks about how we do things in our lives to try to control things, to try to maintain happiness. And there's a bunch of stuff in here. I'm really not going to go through it because it just takes some time to develop it, and maybe we'll talk about it some other place. But we all do things. We try to either control, we try to have control or power over our outside things, over our thoughts, or over our situations and circumstances, and all that is to make us, he says, deep within us is the potential, the potent longing for acceptance from those around us. If we think people like us, or at least if we think people respect or think highly of us, we'll wind up in happiness, because what we're after is happiness. I would say what we're after is comfort. We just want to be comfortable. We just don't want to be uneasy about the world around us or our walk with God. We want to know, we want to have confidence about who we are. And so we try to do things in our lives to try to make that happen, to try to move things around that way. We end up rationalizing that if the majority of the people think well of us, especially Christians, we're probably going to do something right. Unfortunately, that's just not true. Listen to what this guy said, Charles Cooley said, I am not what I think I am. I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. It's tricky, but so much of our lives are spent trying to influence the world around us so that you'll think of me highly. You know, we're all so insecure. I mean, Christian leaders, especially pastors, are tremendously insecure people because they do this all the time. They're in front of people all the time. And if there's a problem in your life, where do you go? Well, a lot of times you go to a pastor. If there's a problem in the church, where do you go? Probably the pastor. If there's a problem in your marriage, where do you go? If you're having a hard time with somebody in the body of Christ, where do you go? You know, so they're hearing stuff this all, and every time they hear something is not working well, they feel like they're not doing a good enough job. They feel like they could be doing things so much better. And so they're trying to be what everybody wants them to be all the time. This whole idea, I think, I am what I think you think I am. You can't control what people think of you and how they think of you. But your influence, if you're connected with Jesus, can be so powerful because he's flowing through you. His life is flowing through you. Gifts are flowing through you. Wisdom's flowing through you. His love is flowing through you. And amazing fruit can come out of this connection. I think most of us really struggle with this whole idea of what other people think about us, how we're perceived by other people. It really doesn't matter that much. You know, there's a guy who used to come in to the church who just was having a lot of stuff going on in his life, and he told me once, he walked through the door and he says, "The minute I walked in this building, I feel like people are judging me." And I looked at him and said, "You know what? I know that's not true, because I know people are not even thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. They don't have time to think about you. We all think we're so important. Most of what we think about is ourselves." And that's exactly what he was doing. And he was feeling these things because he was locked into how he was feeling about himself. If you've ever struggled with that coming in here, know you're not alone. A lot of people struggle with that same thing. Hardly anybody comes into this building thinking, "Jesus, show me what you're doing here." It happens occasionally to some people, but most of us, we bring our lives in here with us. And if we've had a really strong connection with Jesus that week, maybe we come in thinking, "How do you want to use me today, Jesus?" But this focus is still on us. And it is an effortless flow. It is an effortless flow. If we stay connected with him, what comes through us is not work. It's just you being you and him being you through you. Have you ever had God do something in your life and you thought, "That was amazing. I don't even know if I could do that. How did you do that, Lord? How did you influence that person that way?" I'm just as amazed as anybody. When good things happen in my life, I'm just as amazed as anybody is. You know, I'm just like, "Whoa." Or sometimes I'll be up here speaking, teaching, and I'll have studied during the week, and something will come out of my mouth, and it's like, "That was good." And I'm like, "I didn't study that. I didn't think about that. I didn't watch a podcast. I'm not repeating somebody else's words." It just comes out. Well, where does that come from? It comes from that connection. It comes from that connection. Sometimes it shows up at the craziest times and makes you look really good. And sometimes I'll be plugged into something else and something really bad comes out, and I have to deal with that too, you know? But it's a lot of it has to do with who we're connected to. So let me just finish up with these couple things. Your influence is real. To live is to influence. Whenever and wherever our lives interact with other people, a lot of different places we have influence. We change lives. We affect people every single day by the words we say, the looks on our face, the actions we choose, and the decisions we make. In the best-selling devotional, Jesus Calling, that recently encouraged us readers with this. This is just a couple days ago. "As you live in close contact with me, the light of my presence filters through you to bless others." Isn't that good? As you live in close contact with me, as you stay connected with me, the light of my presence filters through you, flows through you to bless others. So how can we allow the presence of Jesus to position ourselves? How do we position ourselves to have a good influence over the people around us? For one, we have to realize that salt is flavor. Everywhere salt is, it flavors things. In fact, one of the things I realized about salt was I thought salt always made things salty. You know that if you put salt in chocolate, it makes it what? Chocolatier. It brings out the chocolate. It doesn't necessarily sweeten it, because chocolate is pretty sweet on its own, but it makes it sweeter. The salt actually makes it sweeter. And so when people put salt into foods, we went to a restaurant last night. I am almost convinced I should be a vegetarian today, because we went to this place called a Brazilian steakhouse. Oh, geez. where they just come with skewer after skewer after skewer of all kinds of different meat, and they just come and slice you off a slice, and you have this little thing on your table. It's got red on one side and green on the other, and as long as it's green, they just keep bringing you meat, and literally you have to turn over to the red side to stop them from bringing it. Yes, meat sweats are a real thing. We had to turn it over just to rest, and we're all just like sitting around the table going, but are you finished? Are you ready? No, we're just resting. We're going to take round two is coming, you know, and so it just, we were there for like an hour and a half eating meat, all this meat. Oh my gosh. They came over with this skewer with filet on it, like 2 inches thick. Perfect, and just dropped it on my plate. There's no way I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat every bit of that. But it's just like took so much out of me. You know what they flavor the meat with? Salt and pepper. And that's it. They don't put anything else on there because salt tends to bring out the flavor of the meat. You have that same influence over on people that you're around. Listen to this. If you're salt and you hang out with people, do you make them saltier? Maybe some of you. Some of us do. No, you make them more of who, you bring out the best of who they are. When you're salty around them, you make them the best of who they are. They can be who Jesus created them to be. That's why it says when salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? If you aren't bringing out the best in who they are, if you're just making people taste salty, that's not the influence that you're after. You're after making them saltier so they look more like who they were created to be. So, you know, we need to salt for flavor and not just to make things saltier. Making things saltier would be when you sit across from somebody and you just preach at them and tell them unless they change their life, they're going to hell. Unless they start reading their Bible, they're going to hell. Unless they start going to church, they're going to hell. That's like, yeah, too much salt. Stop the salt, you know. That's way too much salt. You just back off a lot. What? That's a salt. Yeah, that is a salt. Yeah, that's good, Jeff. We need to back off and just flavor things with salt. We need to have that kind of influence where we just enhance the flavor of what's going on instead of trying to change everything and fix everything. My experience has been you can't fix people in a cup of coffee. But you can have an influence over the direction they go for the rest of their life with one cup of coffee. You really can. But it's not an aggressive thing. Just flavor stuff with salt. Use salt for flavor. The second thing is love even when it's undeserved. You're not just trying to be a conduit for God's love for the people who deserve it. We'll walk into a room and we'll find the people who we look most like and act most like and talk most like, and we'll want to spend time with them. Some of the most powerful times of influence come with people who don't look anything like you and don't talk anything like you and don't respond to Jesus the same way you do. You know, we were in a prayer time once, and it was not going very well. You know, it was like stiff and not very flexible. And somebody came out of the prayer time and they said, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. It's just not my thing. And because this person just doesn't pray the way I pray. And what I said to him is just be you. You're going to have an influence over that prayer time. Just be you. Pray the heart of Jesus. Pray with compassion. Pray with love. And you'll influence the people in that room. It'll work a lot better than, you know, coming to that person and saying, I don't like the way you do things. I think you should change so I'll be happier. I'll be more comfortable. We have such influence by just being Christ-like. Just being like Jesus. And the third thing is Jesus is dying to influence people through you. Actually, he died to influence people through you. He's powerful, and he wants and is waiting for you to do this with him. If you'll just do this, amazing stuff will happen. It doesn't mean that you have to go to church every time the doors open and you have to read your Bible for hours every morning or pray unceasingly. I mean, the other side of it is you do those things, and dang, you will be sweet. But that's not the point. The point is doing more. The point is the connection. If we'll stay connected, we'll end up influencing people because that's who he wants to influence. Next time you go into a coffee shop, stop at the door, pause for a moment and say, Jesus, open my eyes to see what you're doing in this room right now and show me how I can do it with you. Because he's already doing stuff. And the last thing is the world is filled with disillusioned and unsatisfied fruit lovers. People are plugged into all kinds of different things and bearing fruit because of their connections, and they're sick of it. I mean, if you talk to somebody who's struggling with pornography, this becomes really evident really quickly. They hate it. They don't want it, and they can't seem to get that disconnect that will allow that fruit to stop coming through their lives. Have a little freaking compassion on that person. They're plugged into something that's feeding them something that's destructive in their lives. Talk about the connection and not so much the fruit. The fruit of pornography is really difficult to handle. But the connection that they're looking for a connection with something that will comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them. They found a really destructive connection. But you can help them by talking about a connection with Jesus. And then don't get frustrated if it doesn't change overnight. Just keep showing them that there's a connection with Jesus that can yield a different kind of fruit in your life. And it's true with anything. Anything that gossip is the same way. Overeating is the same way. You know, it's what we're connected to. If I hadn't walked into that steakhouse last night, I wouldn't be feeling the way I feel right now. But it's what I was connected to last night that has made me feel like I want to be a vegetarian right now. Or at least gluten-free. Thank you very much. So people are disillusioned and dissatisfied with their lives. Let them know that there's hope in this connection. And it will change the way you influence people's lives. Amen? Let's stand. I honestly do believe that God can change the world through us. I don't see any reason to do anything else besides expect that he's going to change the world through us. I've heard so many people prophesy that God was going to do amazing things in Kelso Longview and influence areas outside of here. I just don't know how all that can just be made up stuff. I feel like people have been connected with Jesus, and Jesus has shared with them a glimpse of what he wants to do in the future, and some of that is powerful influence outside of Longview. Isn't that crazy that you could be just being who you are here in Longview, Washington, or Kelso? By the way, whenever I say Longview, I mean Kelso. And Kathlamet, and Kalama, Klatskanai, wherever. Isn't it crazy that you could just be who you are here and have influence over what happens on the East Coast, or what happens in your family in Texas, or what happens with your kids in Southern California? You could have influence from right here, but it's dependent upon that connection. So, Lord, I just pray for us that you'd keep us connected with the real thing. Our connection isn't with the church. These people's connection isn't with their pastor. And surely our connection isn't with social media. That's not going to change the world the way we want to see it changed. Our connection with you is with you, Jesus. And we believe that if we stay connected with you, anything is possible. And the influence that we have is nothing more than you flowing through us and producing fruit. So we say yes to more fruit, Lord. Yes to more fruit. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.